Mutual invites you to meet the press. This week, Meet the Press is back in New York to interview Fiorello H. LaGuardia, mayor of New York City, on one of his favorite subjects, responsibilities of a free press and radio. Waiting to fire questions at the most colorful mayor in America are four of the country's ace reporters who are out to learn why the mayor has found it necessary to blast the New York newspapers so frequently. This is the 10th in a series of actual press conferences brought to you weekly by the Mutual Broadcasting System in cooperation with the editors of the American Mercury, America's distinguished magazine of opinion. Meet the Press will pay $50 in victory bonds for the best letters on today's press conference. But more about that later. Here to welcome Mayor LaGuardia and the gentlemen of the press is the well-known commentator and reporter himself, Bill Slater.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another weekly press conference. Seated around the press table are Tex McCrary, formerly of the New York Mirror, and a lieutenant colonel of the in the Army on terminal leave, Dorothy Thompson, famous New York Post columnist, recently returned from overseas, Lawrence E. Spivak, editor of the American Mercury, and John Lewis, managing editor of the newspaper PM. Facing the reporters here is Mayor LaGuardia. He has accepted the challenge of a press that has often wondered why he has criticized it so hard and so frequently, and yet been so kind to radio. Now, we'd like to say to you listening in, the only purpose of the questioning is to get a story for you. We have no axe to grind, and if at times the questions seem a little pointed, well, that's the only way to get a pointed answer. It's all done in a friendly spirit. This looks as though it's going to be full of fireworks, so I think we ought to be ready to go. Who has the first question? Mr. Spivak?
Mr. Mayor, in my interviews with you, I found you to be charming and affable and, if anything, a little on the gentle side. Yet you seem to have put the fear of God into the City Hall reporters or their editors. I couldn't get one of the City Hall reporters to face you at this conference tonight. Can you explain why?
Well, I don't think I put the fear of God into the reporters. Their publishers did that.
Does that satisfy you, Mr. Spivak?
Well, a little bit.
Well, I think you'll have to do with just a little bit of satisfaction.
Now, Mary.
Miss Thompson?
I'd like to follow that question up. What makes you think the publishers put the fear of God to the
public? Well, I'll tell you why, Miss Thompson. Because I give them the facts straight. And they get it straight. And they report it straight. But when I read it in the papers, it isn't that way.
Well, what do you think happens in between?
The policy of the paper, their personal feeling that time, their indigestion, their quarrels with their wives or somebody else, their animosity to some particular matter that may be on, and they seek to translate their own views and give vent to their own spleen to the medium of the news columns.
Mr. McCrary?
That's not an opinion.
Mr. Mayor, have you ever called up the editor of a paper and demanded that he fire a reporter?
That's a damn lie.
That was a question.
That's my answer. Whoever said that.
Okay.
Ms.
Well,
Thompson.
After all, there's plenty of editors that demand the mayor should be fired.
Who else has a question for the mayor? We're starting off here in high tonight, Mr. Lewis.
To get on to a little broader subject, I would like to bring up this question, Mr. Mayor. The six largest newspaper chains control a total circulation of 11 million newspaper readers a day. That's one-fourth of the total newspaper circulation in the country. On the radio side, the Federal Communications Commission reported back in 1941 that the three big networks at that time handled almost half the total radio business. How can the people be protected against that kind of monopoly and the things to which it leads?
Well, of course, there's no interference between the microphone and the listener. That's one help. That's why I found the microphone so helpful.
More helpful than the newspaper?
Oh, yes. You see, there's no headline.
Is that answering your question, Mr. Lewis, quite?
I don't see what headlines have to do with it.
I got your question to be that it had more readers than...
Monopoly is prevailing both in press and in the radio.
That's quite true. But my answer to that is the monopoly in radio isn't as cruel or can't control or inject their own views, because there's nothing between the speaker and the listener. while giving a statement to a reporter, he in turn gives it to the desk. The desk gives it to a rewrite man. The rewrite man then passes it on to the city editor. And then the headline man gets it, and by the time the reader gets it, it's entirely different.
But a radio man, by the tone of his voice, can almost do the same thing a headline can't he, Mayor?
Well, who's doing the talking?
The radio man.
I've never had anybody interfere with my talking.
Who is controlling the right of any individual to talk? The radio owner?
No.
Who?
No one.
You can't go on a radio of your own free will and accord without getting the consent of some owner, in all probability, a monopoly owner.
I've never had any trouble.
You are an exceptional
yes,
man.
Aren't you an exception, though?
I hope not.
Oh, I wouldn't say, excuse me,
go ahead,
I wouldn't say you're an exception. I don't think you have to get the consent of a monopoly owner to go on the radio. You have to get the consent of an advertising agency to put you on, who thinks that you're going to get a large listening audience.
I never had before. I may have hereafter.
You've had a city station at your command.
No. I'm excluding that. Every time I had anything to say, and I'm not talking about the time that I've been mayor. All the time that I was in Congress, any time I had anything to say, I never had any trouble getting time on the air.
Go ahead, Mr.
I would
Lewis.
Like to bring back one point. You seem to put radio and the press in an entirely separate categories. It is a fact that of 900 radio stations in this country, approximately, about 65... are owned by publishers. Someplace between 65 and 100, I believe, are also owned by publishers. A great many of those are in cities where there is only one newspaper and only one radio station, so all sources of news are controlled by one man, a complete monopoly. What would you do about that?
I'd like to be mayor of that town.
Do you mean, though, Mayor, that you think monopoly is less dangerous in radio than it is in newspapers?
Yes, I do. Perhaps because it's younger. At the moment, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Spivak?
Mr. Mayor, when you issue a statement to the press, that statement usually gets published. When you issue a statement over the air, that statement goes out over the air, and maybe there isn't any interpretation of it. But I suppose the newspapers editorially like to interpret statements that you make, and sometimes the newspapers will headline statements that you make in the way that they think is important.
I think the newspaper has a perfect right to express its views, its policy, its disagreement in editorials. No question about that. My objection to newspapers that they carry that editorial policy in the news columns. And I'm not saying that I believe that. I know it from 12 years at City Hall.
Could you give us one specific example now, some recent example?
Well, I don't know any recent example. I think it would be much easier if you'd say, can you give me one example when they didn't?
Mr. Lewis?
I understand that radio stations aren't supposed to have editorial policies. You speak about editorial policies. An editorial policy, of course, is nothing more nor less than a fundamental belief in something. For instance, a fundamental belief in such a simple thing as a militant belief in democracy. I suspect that the reason that many radio stations are afraid and don't have editorial policies is that they are afraid to have them. If they stood for a militant democracy, it would be incumbent on them to fight the enemies of democracy, and that might not be good for business. Don't you think we would be better off if radio stations did have editorial policies and did stand for something?
Well, I don't know about the station having an editorial policy. I know one network that's going to have expression of opinion of one individual after January 1st.
And that will be free expression, will it, Mayor?
I'll tell the world it will.
Colonel McCrary?
Would you say, Mr. Mayor, that your programs on the municipally owned station did or did not have an editorial policy, an editorial slant on the news as you saw it?
Absolutely.
It did not have any
editorial. It had my views.
Yes. Well, it was your editorial slant on your own view.
That's right.
But you object to a newspaper placing what you call their editorial slant on your view.
No, no, you misunderstood me. I say they have full and complete right to place their editorial slant on their editorials, but not in reporting factual news.
But you are reporting factual news. You gave out a majority of the news, what was the important news of the city government, over the radio rather than in press conferences. Isn't that more or less correct?
Yes, for a time.
Because you felt that you couldn't trust the treatment.
Then I just gave facts.
Well, facts are news.
Yes.
As you saw.
Or announcements, notices.
Yes. But in giving those facts, either by the tone of your voice or the coloring is a bad word, but you know what I mean, the way you treated the facts as you handed them out, you had an editorial policy in presenting your news, the news that you made as mayor of this city, to the people of this city.
Not at all. I separated the two.
Well, Mr. Mayor, along that line, you were speaking over a taxpayer-supported station, WNYC, and on that station you did attack from time to time such organizations as the Daily News. Did you consider it quite fair to use a taxpayer station to attack a private enterprise?
When the private enterprise attacked the good of the city, of course I did.
Miss Thompson?
I'd like to go back to the first statement that the mayor made and challenge it. I'd like to say right now that personally, perhaps no one's interested in my opinion, but as an editorial writer, I think the news is too editorialized in most newspapers. I think it's slanted according to an opinion instead of being straight reporting, much too much of it. But I would challenge the mayor's contention that that's done by publishers. In 20 years of reporting for newspapers, I'd like to say I've never had a story slanted by a publisher. It can be slanted by a rewrite man, or it can be slanted by being cut. But the idea that the publisher comes down and looks at every newspaper story and slants it is nonsense. I think it's slanted by the reporters for the most time, when it's slanted at all.
That hasn't been my experience.
Well, how do you know, Mr. Mayor, that that's what happened? I just can't see it happening in the newspaper.
I'll tell you how I know. I know what I told the reporters. I know the reporters reported it accurately. And I happen to know the views of the publishers on the question. I know these publishers. Know them personally.
Does that satisfy you, Miss Thompson?
No, it doesn't satisfy me. Did you see the final story written by the reporter?
Were you ever misquoted, Mr. Mayor?
Have I been misquoted?
In quote.
Yes.
Not in headlines.
Yes.
In quote.
Well,
when?
Sure, we all have. Oh, my.
Fundamentally, when?
What?
Fundamentally, when? I don't mean in trivial wisecracks, but when have you been misquoted?
Oh,
so it's the misinterpreted.
I suppose, or yesterday, maybe tomorrow morning.
Well, now that we have covered that spasm, Mr. Spivak?
In your criticism of the press, you've said that the owners don't understand the responsibilities of a free press. Can you give us your understanding of those responsibilities?
As I said, that the owners don't understand the responsibility of the free press. What I said was that a free press must be a truthful press. I said that a democracy cannot survive without a free press, that we must have a free press, but that free press must be a truthful press. And that an owner hasn't the right to use the news columns in order to inject his particular views on any particular issue or subject.
Well, doesn't the truth as we see it depend a good deal upon our prejudices, upon our education, upon a great number of things? For example, I saw a free report some time ago in free papers on a labor dispute, and they ran something like this. Police and pickets fight. Police fight pickets. Pickets fight police. Now, the facts were all the same, but the interpretations were slightly different.
Ah, you clarified my answer, I hope, to Miss Thompson. That's what I mean by coloring, and that was you're referring to headlines. And the view and the policy of the paper was reflected in the headline, which you just quoted.
Yes, but my contention is that the view is reflected by the reporter rather than by the publisher.
Not in the headline or something.
Well, the headline's made by the man who writes the headline.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, maybe Mr. Spivak's reporters were standing in different places around that fight, Mayor.
No.
Pardon me, gentlemen, but I would like to announce the winners of our November 23rd broadcast. $50 in victory bonds have been sent to Claire H. Effler of Arlington, Massachusetts, and another $50 in victory bonds went to Mrs. C.A. Johnson of Moline, Illinois, for their letters to Meet the Press on our interview with Walter P. Reuther, Vice President of the United Auto Workers, CIO Union. Each week, Meet the Press will pay you $50 in victory bonds if your letter of 250 words or less is chosen by our editorial board as one of the two best letters on the subject of this broadcast. All letters become the property of Meet the Press, and the decision of our editorial board is final. Address your letter to Meet the Press, care of Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. And now back to Mayor Fiorello H. LaGuardia, the gentleman of the press, and your host, Bill Slater.
Thank you, Michael. Now, who has the next question for the mayor? Mr. Lewis?
You have referred, Mr. Mayor, to your... You have challenged the right of newspapers to put out biased news. Previously, you have come out a little more forthrightly and talked about lies and challenged the right of publishers to lie in print. How can the people protect themselves against publishers who use freedom of the press as freedom of falsehood?
Very elementary, Dr. Watson. Not buy their paper.
Yes, but Mr. Mayor, a lot of us are like Will Rogers. All we know is what we read in the paper, so how do we know what the truth is?
Listen to the radio.
Colonel McCrary?
Mr. Mayor, do you think you can get more truth generally from politicians than you can from the press? We're talking about two professions now.
Yes, ancient professions.
Does that answer you, Mr.
McCrary?
Well,
is it an answer?
No, I think it's just about a toss-up.
It's about a toss-up.
Yeah,
50-50.
Well, now, under a system where you've got the radio at the mercy of a politically appointed federal commission, do you think that that system is a better guarantor of a freedom of expressing an idea than a competitive press, in which I maintain it's just as easy not to buy a newspaper you don't agree with as it is to get up and walk across the room and turn off a radio you don't agree with?
Let's take the first part of your question. Do I believe that a politically appointed board can better control? The answer is yes. Because, after all, the commission is the creature of law, and law is enacted by the representatives of the people in Congress. I had a great, very interesting time, the enactment of the first radio law. I took quite a part in that. And the fact remains, sir, that if I get up and make a statement, attack any individual, that radio commission will force that station to give an equal time and at the same time to an opponent. If a newspaper makes a false statement with a great big 8-column headline and it's all wrong, you'll find about 7 days later a little bit of a column. They're very sorry to say that we were in error and nobody could find it.
Miss Dorothy Thompson?
Did you ever hear of the court of honor that they have in Sweden for the press?
Only very, very generally. I don't know much about it.
I wondered what you think of it. Well, I understand that in Sweden, the newspaper publishers and the newspaper reporters union, as it were, their professional organization, have set up a court of honor. And before it, anybody who is maligned or misquoted or presented in a false light can take his case. It's apart from the laws of libel. I mean, you can still sue in the courts for libel and damages. This is for people who simply want to be presented correctly before the public. And if the court finds that the complainant is correct and the paper is misrepresented, it is forced to publish the truth and the finding of the court in as prominent a place as the original charge was published. Do you think that's a good idea?
It's splendid. Keep a court of that kind pretty busy in our town. I'd like to see it.
You think we could have something like that here, Mayor?
Is that voluntary, Miss Thompson?
It's voluntary. It's entirely voluntary.
Fine.
It was put up to protect the dignity and honor of the press.
Fine.
Mr. Lewis?
You have been speaking of the radio as being controlled by Washington, by the government.
No, I didn't.
Don't you think, Mr. Mayor, that the radio, just as much as the newspapers, are actually and ultimately controlled by the men who give the money, the advertisers?
Well, I know one paper that isn't controlled by advertisers in New York City.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Would you say
pretty
that?
Well, aren't you?
Would you
no,
say that?
There is no advertiser.
Mr. Mayor, would you say it was the least biased paper in the city of New York?
No. It has its bias.
You're not thinking.
Would you say it was the most biased, Mr.
No.
Mr. Spivak?
Mr. Mayor, if you owned a newspaper and you were the publisher of the newspaper, wouldn't you give the truth just as you do over the radio? Is it the medium of communication or is it the person?
If I owned a newspaper, I would express my views as forcefully as I could in editorials. But any political enemy, or any opponent in any philosophy, economics, foreign relations, or otherwise, would get a square deal, an honest deal, and a truthful presentation of his statement or his views in the news column.
If over the air, when you go on the air, if you attack someone or some fact, are you going to be, is the man you attack going to be given an opportunity to answer over the air?
Why, of course.
On your program, Mayor?
Why, of course.
That's wonderful.
Miss Thompson?
I was then going to go back to this argument as to who presents the truth better, the political leaders or the press. I'd like to ask the mayor which he thought presented the truth about foreign affairs prior to this war. Who presented it more accurately as things turned out? The foreign correspondents or the politicians?
Foreign correspondents.
And now what's the answer to that?
Well, because it's unusual. Miss Thompson, we were at war. And our attention was entirely directed in war efforts, combat, offensive, occupation, so on. The test on foreign affairs comes from now on. And I'm not particularly happy about it, and I don't think you are.
Miss Thompson.
I wasn't speaking particularly of during the war. I was speaking of before the war. The time of Munich. The time of the of all the affairs leading up to the war. I think that foreign correspondents both presented the facts and presented the interpretation of the facts over the heads and against the beliefs of most of the dominant politicians in all countries.
I agree with you.
Well, now, why did they do that?
Well, I don't know. But the fact remains that if people of this country wanted to really study the facts, analyze the reports that came from Europe particularly, I know more about that than I do the Far East, I think they were given a pretty good picture. In 1937, some of us knew what Hitler was heading for. And in 38 and 39, of course, it was obvious. Even then, some papers, of course, sought to inject their own views and sympathies or antipathies in our foreign relations.
But, of course, that's true.
But the reporting was really good. I'll admit that.
You think it was fair on the whole? Fair and truthful?
I do.
Wonder if I could get Colonel.
And you think it's less fair and truthful on domestic affairs?
Oh, yes. And then when you get to the lower level of city affairs, it increases.
I never thought it was the lower level, Mayor. Colonel, what's your question?
Government.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, do you think that the members of your... I'm stealing a question here. I'm afraid we'll lose it. Do you think that the members of your city government felt that they had any more freedom of expression over the municipal radio or going and talking to reporters of their own opinions to disagree with you than, say, a reporter on any of the newspapers felt with relation to their publishers?
You mean members of the city administration?
I mean, suppose Paul Curran wanted to disagree with you on something about civil service.
Yes. Don't you feel that he felt
the same... factor of not intimidation, but of the danger of crossing you if he went to reporters and expressed his point of view, as a reporter would.
Why don't you state what you want?
Mr. Mayor. I say, do you feel that that publishers exercise any more control over their reporters than you exercise over the members of your administration in the expression of their rights to disagree with you?
It's entirely different. An administration of a city government must work in a team. When they can't work in a team, they cease to become to be members of that family. That's all there is to that.
But you mean that nobody that disagrees with you can work for you?
In the performance of his duty?
No, in the city government. I mean, isn't it possible, isn't it conceivable that we'll stick to Paul Kern or stick to anybody? Don't you think that a member of your city government should be entitled, just as a member of Mr. Roosevelt's government or Mr. Truman's government, should be entitled to disagree with you publicly and carry
about
his case?
About
anything.
Oh, of course, everything except matters of policy of the administration. You have to have teamwork. Can you play a game, if a player's going to take the ball and go away by himself and not follow the signals?
No,
of course, he can differ on religion, he can differ on politics, he can differ on anything. But
if he differs with your administration, he's got to resign or shut up.
No, now listen, that isn't even smart. That's
no,
a
I'm
dumb
asking a
question. He's got to carry, he's got to play his part in a team, whether it's city government or state government, when it comes to the intimate administration, the cabinet. Each one has to play his part. And if he can't take the singles and play his part, he doesn't have to stay.
Mr. Sidak, a quick question.
Yes, I just want to get one very quick one in. Some of the newspaper men have complained to me that they can get no information from department heads in the city without clearing through City Hall. What about that, Mr. Mayor?
It all depends what kind of information it is. So, of course, some taxpayers would like to get some very confidential information ahead of time, but we can't give them that, you know. I'm sorry.
Well, the other day, for example, someone in the Transportation Board, I think, issued some statement on the number of nickels that were dropped into a turnstile and wouldn't give his name to the reporter, I hear. Said it had to, he just couldn't permit his name to be used on it.
I don't know anything about that. It wouldn't have to clear through City Hall.
A quick question, Miss Thompson?
No, I haven't a question.
Mr. Lewis,
I would like to know if
the
mayor, after what he said about the press, would be willing to work for a newspaper.
In all likelihood, I will.
Do you think any newspaper would have you, Mr. Mayor?
I'm quite sure, Mr. Lewis.
Which one? Now, let's not have any hiring here.
No.
Mayor, could I ask you a very quick question?
Yeah.
You romped on the World Telegram the other day after they had run that series of articles about crime in the city.
Yeah.
Why was that, sir?
Because the World Telegram, more than... You brought this up, now you're going to get it. The World Telegram, more than any other paper in this city, is responsible for this condition that we have. They've comforted, they've cuddled, the racketeer and the criminal in order to abuse the mayor and the police department, and now that it's up on us, they try to clear out of it by these stories that they're printing, exaggerated and misrepresenting the actual condition.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much for the way you've withstood this battery of questions. I think we're all friends here, and I've no doubt that this questioning is going to go on for the next half hour or so, but that's about all the time we're going to have on the air. Thanks to you, Colonel McCrary. Thanks, Mr. Lewis, Miss Thompson, and Mr. Spivak, and to you especially, Mayor.
Next week, Herbert Brownell, Jr., National Chairman of the Republican Party, will meet the press on the future aims of the Republican Party. Four of America's ace reporters will be on hand to ask some searching questions on what the Republican Party offers the American people in the days ahead. Who are the new leaders? What are the new plans? What promise does the party offer in the precarious new world we face? And don't forget, Meet the Press, in cooperation with the editors of the American Mercury magazine, the distinguished magazine of opinion, will pay you $50 in victory bonds if your letters on today's subject is accepted for publication. Address your letter to Meet the Press, care of the Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. Join us again next week for another press conference when Herbert Brownell, Jr., National Chairman of the Republican Party, meets the press. Meet the Press is a Martha Roundtree production. This is Michael Wayne speaking. Remember Pearl Harbor and Victory Bond Week. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.